Remember that time you said you wanted to do a podcast with me about video games, and I said never in a million years?
Yeah.
They didn't work out so well. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for February 7th, 2009. Took me three times to say that.
Well, first you screwed up the date, then the month. At least you got the year right.
It's a new month, kind of. Man, it's already 7 days into February. Jeez. Well, welcome to the show, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. We're going to... Here's the show we're doing today. We're going to start off with news. Wait, how's the news today, Edge Guy?
Moderate to fairly strong.
That's good.
About out of blue.
We got a great American Edge Guy gaming quiz.
I'm excited. Man, hearing about this one.
You're going down like a clown.
I think I scared him when I came close last time.
Yeah. Oh, this is gonna be a good one. So, do you have any funny or dies for me?
I'll try to think of one.
Yeah, think of something because people like that. Try to hit me or something. So then after that, we'll talk about our week in gaming. A lot of demos and Red Alert 3. We actually both got. Because I was that excited about Ric Flair being in the expansion pack.
Mike is playing an RTS, like his least favorite genre.
Yes. But we'll talk about that. Then we'll go. I guess after that we just got the 4-in-1 top 10 list, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The releases.
Oh, the releases. Skip Thank those. You. Sorry, I knew I was forgetting something. downloadable game releases, the weekly game releases, and on the top 10 list on 4-in-1 Mania. Derek Robbins writes his top 10 favorite Street Fighter characters.
Yes.
Sounds exciting, huh?
Yeah, let's get this party
started.
Quite
the show we have here. So why don't we get this going?
Okay. So first I'll bring up some good news. Free Radical, who was in trouble of being completely shut down, was actually bought by Crytek, of all people. The studio has been rebranded as Crytek UK,
and they'll keep working. Hopefully they won't be making haste too.
No, hopefully they learned their lesson. But 40 plus jobs saved in this economy. That's good to hear.
I wish I liked Free Radical Games more. Yeah. Even Time Splitters, which everyone
else. Everyone loves that. Didn't do anything for me.
But that's good. I wish that their Battlefront 3.
I know
that looked good. To see.
Oh well. Then in other awesome news. So with the upcoming release of Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings, the Wii version. We'll also have Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis as an unlockable bonus.
That's pretty cool.
That's sweet.
So I can imagine like point and click style controls.
Yeah. Well, I fully expect them to just put Scum VM on the disc and just run it.
That's cool,
you can do that right now, really, but it's still cool.
As much as I love LucasArts Adventure Guys, I haven't really played Fate of Atlantis that much.
I tried it once and just got sidetracked from it. Maybe we need to do that someday.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
Yeah. Okay, so we got a whole bunch of EA news. They had like their one of their conference calls, and then they also had a presence at the New York Comic Con. So first up, EA has acquired the Ludlum license, which I believe Activision had before this. They made their one Bourne game that did okay. But EA's now got the license, and the confirmation is that Starbreeze, the guys who did Riddick and The Darkness, are doing a new Bourne game.
That's a good choice.
Given their past history with licensed games, that could be really good. So, hooray for that. We've got a whole bunch of EA games getting delayed, which kind of sucks. Sims 3, which is supposed to come out in a month or two, is pushed back to June 2nd.
Is there something you can make vampires and Sims
3? Yeah, but they don't, really stalk people and suck blood. They just look like vampires.
So, it's just emo characters.
Basically.
Okay.
You got Dragon Age Origins. The PC version got pushed back to the end of 2009 to match the console releases. Probably makes sense. It's like that way you only need to do one marketing campaign.
I know so little about this game. I didn't know it was getting console releases.
I can't wait for this game.
It's getting good, really? It's console too?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then The Godfather 2, which again is supposed to be coming out really soon, is now sometime between April and June. They said they want to do that so they can create more hype for the game.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what. I'm definitely not hyped right now, so...
Yeah, I guess it's working.
Yeah.
Then they announced a bunch of stuff. So we've kind of been getting kind of sort of confirmations on Mass Effect 2. I mean, we all know it's coming. They said it's going to be coming sometime early 2010, like in the January to March time frame. That's the plan now. They announced a Wii port of Dead Space that will probably be using Wii Motion Plus.
And it's interesting because Well, for, obviously the graphics are going to suffer.
Right.
But I've always talked about how much I like the Wii version of Resident Evil 4.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. It worked. I mean, I think what makes people leery of this is when you look at the screenshots for Dead Rising on Wii and how shitty that looks.
Yeah. I really need to finish Dead Space. I'm on like the last level. I really like that game.
I want to take it with me back to Pittsburgh and play it. Then we got a duo of Battlefield games, Battlefield Bad Company 2. Everything I read said this winter. I assume they mean like the next winter, not the one that we're in right now. I don't think this game's coming out next month.
I never hear people say this winter. They'll say this fall or this spring or even the summer, but they don't say winter.
Yeah. But, you know, sequel to the original Bad Company, so it's more of their single-player-focused Battlefield game. Then they also announced Battlefield 1943.
Hells yes.
Downloadable and retail releases on the PC, PSN, and Xbox, which would mean this is, I mean, I guess it would be an Xbox Live Arcade title, but that's probably the biggest title to come to the service yet. And it doesn't look completely full-blown. It's only three maps. But it looks to be running on the Bad Company tech, as evident by all the falling trees in the trailer.
Yeah.
But,
still, I just love the idea, especially these. I imagine they'll add more maps.
Yeah, well, it's maps from 42, just, you know, updated. Like, there's that one, that like, crescent-shaped island, Wake Island, I think.
Yeah.
That's the one everyone loves.
See, I like it just because I love Baphomet 1942, and I never liked any of the sequels as much as that one.
Right.
Really.
It would be nice to have it modernized, and I like playing them on the console because it's easier for me to control vehicles with a... With a controller than a mouse, I think so. That would be awesome.
I hope they have something like the one map in Battlefield 1942 where it was just two carriers.
That was cool.
You just had to bomb your carrier.
That was cool.
I loved that map.
That was fun.
Oh, so I'm excited for Battlefield 1943. That's always the thing, though. It's like you make one World War II game, make the sequel, make sure it's Pacific themed.
Yeah.
You know, a little. But still, it's fun.
Yes.
I'm excited. Dun, 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 dun. One of the best theme songs ever.
It's like nothing to it, too.
But I love it.
I know, it's awesome.
So much.
It's very awesome.
I just like to play that and get myself pumped up. Like, yeah, I'm going to war.
I'm actually excited for the Battlefield Heroes beta should be starting up again soon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Did you sign up at all for that ever?
No. Okay. I played it a little bit.
Yeah.
On your account.
I wonder how different it'll be since they took it down.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rockstar has it finally announced the long-rumored sequel to Red Dead Revolver called Red Dead Redemption. It's using the GTA 4 engine set in the Old West. There's two characters you play as, a guy from the first game and like an outlaw turned good as the second character.
I never played Red Dead Revolver.
I remember renting it and thinking it was okay.
There's a lot of mixed things said about it. Some people said it was like awesome. Some people said it wasn't that good.
This sounds more to be just basically GTA in the Old West, which
that sounds
great.
That sounds great. Yeah.
I know, right?
I like the sound of that.
Yeah,
definitely.
So hopefully that'll be good. Now, have you seen all this Street Fighter 4 DLC?
Yeah, all these costumes.
I hate crap like this. To get all the costumes for all the characters, because they're going to dole them out gradually, and then once they're all out, there will be an all-inclusive pack. $15 for alternate costumes.
If you're stupid enough to buy them.
I know.
Really,
see, this, I just understand how you quantify DLC like this. I mean, the game is $60. Do they really spend, like, a third of the game's budget on costumes? And then, like, you know, the fighting engine and the backgrounds and the animation, that was all actually really cheap. The costumes, though. They also have, Oh, God, what are you going
to
say?
Is this really going to cost $60 to get Street Fighter 4?
Yeah.
I don't mean to be a downer. Everyone's really excited about Street Fighter 4, and that's cool.
I am.
But, like, isn't it still kind of a lot like Street Fighter 2?
Kinda.
I still kind of have this problem.
Yeah, I understand your point. Like, to be perfectly honest, like, I kind of regret the $60 I dropped in Soul Calibur 4. Like,
I like Soul Calibur 4.
It's good, but like, I didn't get $60 out of it. I don't feel like
right. But I mean, $60 for a game that's kind of a prettier Street Fighter 2. Wow.
Well, there's some new systems to it. And
yeah,
stuff.
I know, but I don't know. My Street Fighter games, the ones I like are the ones that have silly mashups. Like Marvel vs. Capcom. Yeah, I like that. I like it when it's ridiculous. But.
Right. There's going to be one free piece of DLC with the launch of the game. It's like championship mode or something like that.
What's that?
It's like harder difficulty level for the hardcore players or something.
Boy.
Yeah. So we keep hearing all these rumblings of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Call of Duty 6 Modern Warfare.
Yeah. So Infinity Ward, Robert Bowling, who I forget his exact position now. I should have wrote that down. He Twittered. Reviewing some Radio Chatter VO we just finished recording for Modern Warfare 2 today. Cujo 2-1, this is Vulture, solid copy and all, as a quote. So yeah, it's a big shocker. They're making Modern Warfare 2. So, like, it's just we haven't had, like, an official announcement yet.
Yeah. This guy's twittering about it.
Like, yeah, you know, everyone's like, well, was this, like, deliberate or did he fuck up? Or it's like, who cares? Yeah, it's coming.
It's viral, man.
Yeah.
It's
viral. Yeah. Left 4 Dead DLC announced. We have a new game mode called Survival, but we don't know what it is. We have two more full campaigns for Versus mode.
Now, what's this mean for only Versus mode?
My guess is when you play Versus, you can only do two of the four campaigns. It's probably just the other two have been converted over to Versus mode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not like a whole new scenario.
You're kind of playing with words there a bit.
Yeah, now this is what worries me. I would have hoped this is free, but then they also announced a Critics' Choice version of the game coming out, which includes all this DLC. Which makes...
What? Yeah.
I mean, this doesn't sound particular... If it is just those two maps reworked in a new mode, that doesn't sound very substantial. It's cool, don't get me wrong, but I don't know if that's something I'd pay for.
Right.
So I think I mentioned this before, but it wasn't like for sure, but they confirmed it now. Warhammer 40K Dawn of War 2's DRM is Steamworks, which, to my knowledge, makes this the first non-Valve game that you can, like, buy... Put in the CD key in Steam, and then it works just like you downloaded it off Steam, just like Half-Life does.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you don't need the CD to play it. You can just re-download it rather than reinstall it. I wish everybody would do this.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. Like, I remember because we were talking about how GameStop got all pissy about this, and that's why they're not going to carry the game and everything.
Oh, right.
Honestly, I think it behooves them. Because if I know I can go buy it and it still works through Steam, I'll go buy a box copy. It costs the same,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay, this I kind of saw this coming, but I'm still bummed. The next two Fallout 3 DLC packs, The Pit and Broken Steel, have both been delayed a month. So The Pit's now coming in March and Broken Steel in April.
Broken Steel for me is like the level cap expansion.
Right. Well, yeah, that's
like,
what it is.
I know, but I mean, what I mean is like I'm excited that there's all that new content, but I just freaking want my level cap to raise.
Yeah, this is the thing now. Like now that I've hit the level cap too, it's like when I play The Pit, I'm gonna be like. I almost feel like I should wait to play this till after Broken Steel comes out. Like, why couldn't they just do the cap sooner? Well, I mean, but there's going to be all new perks and everything, too.
Perks.
I mean, what more perks could they put in? I already got the one that, like, I'm like a mini god as it is right now in that game.
What level 20 perk did you get?
The one every time I kill a guy, my AP, because I do sniping. Right. So if I could do that, I could clear a room instantly.
That's too. Some of them, the map one sounds neat, but I bet, like...
But see, that's one...
That's one that if you just had patience, you could kind of...
Yeah, that's why, like, I didn't take
it's
that...
It's convenient, but...
I didn't take that here and now perk.
Which one's that?
The one that skips you a level. Because that effectively just means you get one less perk.
I did it because I was very impatient about
something. See?
No, I did it because I wanted to do it so I can get my lock picking up real quick because there's some room I wanted to go to.
I see.
So, probably shouldn't have, but whatever.
And the final thing, they announced with Halo 3 ODST... It'll include...
I don't like that name change at all.
Fine with it. It'll include all 24 Halo 3 maps, with the ones included with Halo 3, plus all the map packs that have been released and will be released, plus three new maps to the game specifically. I still wonder if...
Man, that's a lot of maps.
27 maps.
Jeez.
I still wonder if... I wonder if like Halo 3 and Halo 3 ODST can play with each other. Because otherwise it seems like they're going to splinter their player base.
I imagine they will.
It'd be interesting if they do, because no game's really done that yet.
This one has to.
Yeah, I almost feel like they do, too. But they also said, Bungie said, with the release of ODST, they're done with Halo 3. They're, like, completely moving on. Like, that'll be the last hurrah for the franchise. Or not the franchise, the game. Yeah, Halo 3. Like, you know, no more map packs or anything.
But you got 27.
Yeah, seriously, right?
What else do they need to do? We'll be playing Halo Wars, maybe. So.
Yes. Oh, did I miss anything?
There's nothing cool this week that I jumped at.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
It's kind of like a blah week.
But before you said this was a great news week, you always lie in the beginning.
The EA stuff was good. I thought the EA stuff
Battle was
good.
Battlefield 1943 was pretty exciting.
Right.
All right, so let's do the quiz.
All right.
Look ahead here now.
I ain't.
All right, we got the Great American Agile Guy Gaming Quiz. Got five questions plus a bonus question, each worth a point. You get 5 points, you pass the quiz.
Okay.
All right, so question number one. The main hero in Killzone 2 is named Sev. What is the name of the player character in the first Killzone?
Oh, you gotta be shitting me. I have no friggin' clue. Bastard.
Oh, man, I'm just playing off. I was saying it earlier how I think Killzone 2 is gonna follow the tradition of Warcraft 2 and Street Fighter 2. And
Diablo 2. It's like, who cares about the first... Well, Diablo 2 maybe not so much.
But yeah,
but yeah, it's like the first game's practically non-existent in the minds of people.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, what's his name?
I have to find out. Let's see. I always white all the answers. Jan Templar.
Sounds like a woman.
Who I guess is also the main character of Killzone Liberation. And is also in Killzone 2, but he's not the main player character.
That's it.
Speaking of the first Street Fighter, who was the final opponent in the original Street Fighter?
Was it Ken?
No. The Sagat.
Oh, that makes sense, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You give him his scar.
Alright, number 3. What's the name of the only Genesis Castlevania game?
Castlevania X.
No.
Castlevania Chronicles X, or some bullshit like that.
No, Castlevania Bloodlines.
What was X? There's like Dracula.
X. That's something different.
Yeah.
I think that was PlayStation, actually. So, that's Castlevania Bloodlines. Damn. All right. You haven't gotten any of these yet.
No. Bastard.
I hope this trend continues. Number 4. How many Contra games were released for the NES?
2.
Wrong. 3.
Damn it.
There is the much forgotten Contra Force.
Oh.
Not considered canon, but it was a Contra game.
That's along with bullshit.
Contra and Super Contra. Well, you should have realized this was probably a trick question.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably said, how many are there in added one? Okay. Number 5. The Black Mesa Research Facility from the Half-Life Games is located in what state?
I think Arizona?
Nope, New Mexico.
Damn it! Dang. I knew it was somewhere southwest.
That was the one you were going to get.
Yeah, what's my bonus question?
Let's see if you can save some face here.
Yeah.
There are 2 playable characters in Castlevania Bloodlines.
Damn it.
How many of them are Belmonts by name?
0.
You got it.
Yes.
You got it. You knew the French trick. Yeah. One named John Morse is a descendant of the clan, but not a full-blooded Belmont.
All right. Well, that was exciting. Yeah. I got a point.
Yay. Adjika.
Thanks.
That was a fun one. You should have gotten that Black Mesa.
I know. I knew it was somewhere in the Southwest.
Yeah, you did too good in the last one. I'm like, oh, I'm going to fuck with him now. All right. So we had a fun week in gaming.
Yes. Well.
Oh, wait. Do you have a funny or die?
Yeah, I got funny or die.
Funny or die. Answer or die?
Answer or die.
Not to be mixed up with the website.
All right. What is your favorite development studio? 5, 4,
the old LucasArts.
3. What is your favorite currently operating development studio? 5, 4, 3, 2.
Square Enix?
Really?
Well, I can't think of a big studio that I really like. They do Kingdom Hearts and... I got a little flip. They do Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy. That's cool,
yeah.
I guess. I don't know. Who should I say?
Valve, Blizzard.
Yeah, Valve might have been pretty good. Blizzard, I like most of their stuff, not all of it. I don't know. I'm not a big development fanboy these days. I don't have studios that I'm just like, yes, man, you guys do nothing but good shit.
Fair enough. I think Valve is one of those studios.
Yeah, Valve is good. I mean, obviously I don't feel that strongly about Square Enix. I just wanted to say something so I would not be hit.
Right. I flicked you so hot.
Yeah. You have anything else you want to
throw? That's all I had.
Okay, that's all you got. All right. Well, ow. Man. Ouchie, ouch, ouch.
Yes. Okay. Right. Now what you been playing? You want to talk about Red Alert since it's right here?
Yeah, so we got Red Alert 3.
Yeah, which was... I was shocked to hear, like, just how... I knew you'd be excited that Ric Flair... I think I sent you a text message that day. I was like, dude, Ric Flair's the next expansion. The typical response I got was, woo!
Yeah.
But then, like, I'm home that weekend. You're like, we got to buy Red Alert 3 this week. I'm like, what? You're like, yeah, we'll play co-op. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, okay. So we both ended up buying it at stores because we had gift cards, and I actually found the premiere edition for $30 at GameStop,
which was sweet.
Oh, I'll give you the soundtrack, by the way.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I want that.
But I haven't gotten to play it much yet because my network card on my computer's effed up, and anytime I do anything strenuous, we almost got to the end of the mission and died. But for that time, it was very fun. I'm surprised at really how fun, like, co-op playing an RTS like this is. Because I think I mentioned this to you when the game came out. You're like, so what? It's just, like, 2 armies on the field. But, like, I don't know. There's something to it.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, the way it works is every mission, you either play a solo or a co-op. If you do it solo, you have a co-commander.
You can give, like, vague orders to.
But, you know, they're helpful. And if you do a co-op, you just have 2 people there. And it works completely normal. It's not like some guy's tagging along. You're both there doing it.
Right.
First off, I love the whole live action things going
on. Oh, they're perfect. They're so good.
The introductions are great by
Tim Curry.
Yeah, well, right now I'm doing, you start with the Russian campaign, I'm doing Tim Curry, who we both met, by the way.
Yes. Is that picture here somewhere? Where'd you put it?
It's around here somewhere. We both met him when he was doing a Spam a Lot. We went to go
on
see
Broadway,
him.
Yeah.
We got to meet him for a little bit. But just all that stuff is great. It's all
brilliant.
Cheesy. It's cheesy, but well done. Plus, I love the way that it's incorporated into the game, too.
Yeah, like that's when the awesome little video screens pop up. That's cool stuff. I always like things like that.
Right. But I like the game because it's a bit simpler than most RTSs, so I'm not in way over my head. Mm-hmm.
It's very visceral. There's a lot going on to keep you kind of interested mm-hmm. in it.
Like all the units are cool. Every unit has like one special ability, mm-hmm. so you don't get too confused. And you know, base building it's expansive enough. Like there's enough to do, but it's also not overly complicated. It is a simpler RTS.
Yes.
It's fun. I've been playing through the campaign. I'm about done with the Russians, Soviets, I should say. You know, I got to a point where, like, I couldn't beat one for a little bit. I'm like, oh, that's it. So much for that. But then I was like, no, I just retried. I'm rethinking my strategy, and I got through it. So, you know, I'm enjoying it. More so than I do with most.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
So, have you played much of it? Do you have opinions?
Not enough. Nah. Like, I just really played that mission with you.
The three factions, each one kind of has like a hero unit.
Yeah.
But not, it's not like Warcraft they level up or anything like that.
Well, having played the 360 demo on the PC version, I mean, it's still far better on the PC.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Far better.
Speaking of console RTSs, though.
Yeah, good segue. The Halo Wars demo, which I'm a huge fan of.
I was impressed by the way it controlled. I don't know how much fun I had playing it just because everything that was there was very simple.
You play a skirmish?
No, I imagine
this is what I tell everybody, because everyone's like, oh, it's so simple. But really, the first couple missions in any RTS are always really dumbed down.
That's what I was thinking.
So, I played skirmishes as both the UNSC and the Covenant. And, I mean, these controls work. Like, I was jumping through armies, no problem, getting exactly where I needed to go, attacking the units I wanted to with the units I wanted. Piece of cake. What they do that's really smart, and I don't think they explain this well enough in the tutorial. When you select, like, all your units, you can push either the left bumper to select everybody or the right bumper to select who's on the screen. Then you can scroll through the bottom bar with your right trigger to select a group of similar units, and then you just have them controlled. So if you need to, like, if the enemy's sending in, like, air units and you need your anti-air, just hit the left bumper, hit the right trigger till you have those guys, and then just click, and you're there. So it makes it very easy to do all that. It does that, like, modular base building thing that kind of like Lord of the Rings Battle for Middle Earth did.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really bother me. I think it works well.
It's nice. It controls very well. It's impressive. I think this will be... I mean, they did a smart thing here in that this isn't an RTS for PC and consoles.
It's just a console game. I think that's what we needed, finally, right. You know?
Yeah, I'm glad the studio is rewarded by their efforts by being closed and everything.
Yeah, well...
Good job, Ensemble.
They're kind of sort. You know, I mean, the thing is, it's like they're getting moved up to Seattle to continue supporting the game. It's a new studio, and like the guys who didn't want to move are staying in Texas, and they're opening their own studio.
Right, but it seemed interesting enough. Although I still hate Halo writing.
I know
so much. Just all the cutscenes. It's everything is so. It's all cliches. It's nothing but cliches. I mean, one girl's about to, like, touch the weird alien thing. The guy's like, what are you doing? She's like, nothing ventured, nothing gained. Like, oh, I never heard that before.
When they're like, they don't want you going down there yet. It's dangerous. I can handle myself.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that again. The girl's like, you have the female scientist who wants to go down to the planet, and the male, you know, military guy, like, you can't go. It's too dangerous. Oh, man, I haven't heard this one in a billion years. Christ, it's freaking generic. And honestly, it's hard for me to get over some of that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
That has always been one of my biggest barriers to entry for Halo. But besides that, it's fine. It works well.
Yep.
We had the Killzone 2 demo.
Yeah. I like it.
What I don't understand. You said to me, I liked it, but I just don't feel like it's the greatest thing ever, like everyone else says. Who are these people who are saying that?
I told you.
Like, fanboys. So what? Fanboys did that about everything.
I know, but I mean,
remember how furious they were when... Zelda Twilight Princess got an 8.7 on GameSpot.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't see you bitching then. Well, like, not, reviewers are down to earth. They're low nines or high eights.
Well, no, I just wanted to say, because like Adam Sessler, who hosts X-Play on G4, he has his... He does like kind of like a video podcast called Sessler's Soapbox. They gave the game a 5 out of 5, and people still bitched that he's like biased towards Microsoft and he didn't really like the game. And he just ranted for like 5 minutes. It's hilarious. But I just want people to keep their expectations in check. I think this is.
I don't know who's aren't really personally, except for maybe the biggest of Sony fanboys. I don't think anyone else has expectations besides a pretty good FPS.
Well, Tycho put it pretty well when he said that like. This game has gotten to the point where, like, the score that you apply to this game is, like, the score you're applying to the PlayStation 3. Metal Gear Solid 4 kind of did that, too, you know? Where it's like, this game is, like, validating the PS3's existence.
If it is, it's only because its existence is in such a shoddy, crappy place right now.
Well, here, let's
it's not fair to put that burden on this game.
Let's talk about the game. Yeah, we haven't done that. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's very nice looking.
It's the best looking shooter I've ever seen, and mm-hmm. I'm talking about Crysis as well. I think it looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Lighting is really good. What I like, what makes it work so well, I think, is it feels like everything has weight, and it's like rooted in the environment. Like, when guys move, there's none of that, like, where their feet are kind of slipping on the ground. Like, they look like they're part of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then the one thing, though, and Tom Chick brought this up in his impressions of the game. He's absolutely right. It's like your guy's like a midget. Like, you ever walk up to any of the NPCs when nothing's going on?
I didn't try that, no.
You're staring at their belly button. And the thing is, what that does is it creates this effect in the game where all the enemies and everything look big and they fill up the screen rather than, like, the top half of the screen being kind of empty. But
it's
yeah,
sure it looks like a design choice.
Yeah, but like when you go up to like NPCs, like you can't even see their head unless you look up.
That's
kind of funny.
I didn't like the game at all, though.
Right? No, he hated it.
But his problem was the generic qualities of it, which, hey, it's
I can understand.
It's an
yeah.
FPS. They're all like that. All these FPS where you're a space marine and some sort of alien planet, yeah. Don't expect much.
I wish I knew more of the whole Killzone backstory. Like, I don't understand who these Hellgas guys are, and why we're fighting them, and why if we're on their home planet, why are they still wearing masks?
I just say that it's. I just tell myself it's like Halo.
Yeah, basically, it's Halo.
I mean, I don't. Yeah, and I'm not too concerned about my character's motivation,
right?
Or what's going on?
What do you think of the cover system in the game?
I love the cover system. I think it's great.
It's just there's a few times when like I feel like I should be able to move or pop out or something, and it gets stuck. It seems like to me.
I didn't have too many problems.
Or like
with that.
I had one time where I was shooting, but it was like my bullets were clipping off the edge of the cover, not going anywhere, which was annoying.
Didn't have that, but no, I love the cover. This is the first time a first person shooter has had a really good cover system.
I still hate the PS3 controller for shooters.
Oh, I know.
It's so hard to like fine tune your aiming.
I had to mess around with the sensitivity a bit.
Yeah, I gotta do that too.
At first, sensitivity was way too low. I couldn't move around nearly as fast as I wanted to. But, you know, the weapons seem pretty simple so far. I got really, at first, like they do that thing where it's like the two weapon system where like the other weapon's a pistol that you'll never use.
Yeah.
So, like, okay,
well, right away, I swapped that for one of the Hellgas rifles.
Oh, it doesn't always have to be a pistol?
No, it's just two. Whatever.
That's good. But, oh man, I was going somewhere with that until you interrupted me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should. Oh, but a good portion of the game is using grenades, not so much just to kill people, but to
flush them out.
Yeah, to get them out of cover, because the AI will react to it pretty smartly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like the Fear 2 AI, because that's like the whole gimmick of that. Oh, our AI is really good, but it's pretty good AI.
That was another uproar, was Edge gave Killzone 2 a 7 and Fear 2 an 8. So, you know, clearly it's a better game.
Edge of that?
Yeah.
Who reads Edge magazine?
A lot of people.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
Edge is that weird one, right? Didn't
it's the British one.
Edge is the one that gave Sonic the Hedgehog 2006 a 9, right?
Maybe.
Yes, that was them. They are the worst reviewers ever.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything like, oh, they gave Killzone 2, but I remember, historically, they've done very bad reviews. They did something else that was bad recently they gave a good review to. I can't remember what, but they're terrible reviewers. Right. Sonic the Hedgehog 2006 a 9.
Yeah,
you're banned forever.
That's bad.
That is
you're just freaking
forgivable. Have you been reading some of these Sonic and the Black Knight impressions from somewhere?
No.
Yeah, people say, yeah, it's like a Sonic game where you have to stop and fight people. They say it reminds them of Sonic Unleashed a lot. Yeah.
Why?
Sonic Team is actually making this one too.
They are.
Yeah,
oh,
I think so. Because Sonic Unleashed was made by the guys who made like Sonic Rush.
Yeah.
So, oh, man.
Well, thank God the home team's back on this one.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We shouldn't get into this.
Now, yeah. Let's talk about Phantasy Star Portable since we're on the subject of Sonic
Team. We'll have to talk about that because I didn't play it at all.
Yeah. Well, the demo just came out yesterday. I downloaded it, played it a bit today. It's basically a port of PSU, but they took out all the shitty parts. Instead of the far too overcomplicated world hub, it's basically menus. The single player, instead of being like the contrived JRPG story with the really bad cutscenes, it's just more you're going through all the missions that are in the multiplayer, but you get some NPCs with you and they talk every so often about what's going on.
Sounds a lot like Phantasy Star Online 1.
Yeah. It's still the one thing I miss is like the combat doesn't have that same kind of deliberate rhythm.
Oh, really?
That PSO had.
Well,
it's like each weapon has their own kind of sort of rhythm to it, but it's not. It's different. It's hard to quantify, mm-hmm. but you feel it when you're playing it. But I mean, you know, it does play well. It, you know, it looks good on the system. It's so annoying that there's no online play in it. It's this Japanese thing because everyone has a PSP and they all play Monster Hunter. So it doesn't matter there, but it's just like you need to realize that the American market for this game
does not have online.
No,
it's just never mind.
It's just local. Yeah, but this is the thing. It's like that works in Japan, where it's a small country and like everyone has these things. But here in America, it's a different market.
Yeah, it's
not going
to work out the same
way. No, because they do the same thing with Monster Hunter.
Yeah, we don't like Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same reason why like White Knight Chronicles doesn't have voice chat. If that comes out here, an online RPG on the PS3 and doesn't have voice chat, it's like. What's wrong with you?
You know, stop. White Knight Chronicles isn't that much of an online. It has an online component.
But, no.
Oh, I've seen previews. You told me this. It's not. They didn't just turn it into Monster Hunter like you're trying to tell me.
No,
I know it has an online component, but it's not that big a deal like you make it out to be.
It's like half the game.
No, it's not. It's you can play through some of the missions with people.
All right, fine.
I don't think. Where did you hear this?
Like from a lot of places. I don't know. It was 3 months ago.
It's still mostly a single player game.
Okay. Very anyway,
it looks good too. You see some of the videos?
Yeah, I know.
It looks like Final Fantasy 12, kind of. Which is nice.
But anyway, back on Phantasy Star, like I could see it being fun to get around like in a room with you know three other guys and playing it.
Yeah, I wish I didn't break my PSP battery.
Well, you could just use Chris's. He doesn't play his PSP.
I thought he sold it.
No, you took the battery from his PSP. Remember?
I thought he sold his PSP.
No.
He was going to.
We were using it the other day.
The other day? I used it a month
ago. Well,
that
other day, when you were trying to hack it, yeah.
A long time ago now.
He hasn't sold it in a month.
Wow. I think he was going to that next day. Are you sure he didn't? Because I think he did.
Oh, maybe he did then. I don't know.
Okay. Because I think when he actually wanted to sell it the next day, which I thought was funny, that was the one time I decided to try to brick or unbrick my PSP or whatever.
Right. Let's see. The other thing I played, Vampire Story. Or is it Vampire Tale?
A Vampire. Okay, I can find it. A Vampire Story,
yes. Yeah. This is a point-and-click adventure game made by one of the former LucasArts guys who did art in like Cursed Monkey Island and The Dig. Hand-drawn 2D backgrounds with very nice-looking 3D models on top that like, still manage to very stylistically match the art, so it's not like jarring. I played the demo. It just came out last month, December, rather. You can get it on Amazon. The puzzle design, I'm still in like the first main puzzle, really, you're encountered with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. The logic is not making sense to me.
That's always a problem.
Yeah. It got to the point where I'm just clicking on everything. And then you're locked in a room you're trying to get out. And when I randomly just tried taking the pickaxe to the door, that incited her to stick the axe under the door and wedge it to lift the door an inch. And I was like, well, what did that do for me?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And then also a problem I have, too, is I do not like the main character's voice at all. She's kind of like this, like, sultry-looking vampirish chick. And so you think she'd have, like, the low, sexy voice. And she's got, like, this really high-pitched, bad French accent. And it sounds like she has a speech impediment.
Never great thing to have.
But it looks really nice. And maybe the other puzzles are better. It's worth checking out the demo, I think.
We didn't mention this before, but our brother Chris got a stage kit for a Rock Band.
It's awesome. I'll put up some pictures.
It's a fog machine and a light machine for Rock Band.
It's the most ridiculous, amazing thing ever.
It is silly. Oh my! At one point, we just had fog all over the room, and like I just looked into it like, man, Mom's not going to like that.
Oh, it's sweet, though. It's so fun.
It's interesting. You have to do it at night. It's nice when the strobe light starts going.
Yeah, you have to do it at night and turn off all the other lights and everything. Doesn't work during the day that way.
I think we're already out of fog, but you have to keep buying that fog juice.
Yeah.
It could get expensive.
Yeah, you know.
What a silly accessory.
Well, he got it cheap at Circuit City during their...
He didn't get that cheap.
He got it for 70. It's usually 100.
Whatever. He like he got it for 80.
Yeah, whatever.
100, say 20 bucks. And this, what a silly thing.
Mm. Nope, did you play anything else?
Yeah, I've played some things. I'm trying to play Castlevania 4 some more on Virtual Console.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to play Mega Man ZX again because I'm just desperately wanting...
You have ZX?
Chris got it when it came out.
Oh, really? That was a good game. I rented it.
Is it? Because it's okay, but I hate this, like, open world thing in it.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, you have to navigate, and the map they give you makes no sense.
Oh, I know, yeah. Whatsoever. It's bizarre.
You have to go find all your missions and stuff. I'm just like, just give me the freaking level select thing. What the hell is this? And Mega Man Zero kind of did too, but it just wasn't that annoying. And mm-hmm. the game seems fun enough. I just wish I could just easily play it.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, fair. My L button's broken, so God, that annoys the hell out of me. So, but yeah, it seems fun enough. I just can't do much in it, which annoys me.
Right. Oh, let's get to some downloadable game releases, shall we?
Okay.
So on the WiiWares, we got Snowboard Riot. Kind of snowboarding game that you can play with your balance board. And Nintendo made a new puzzle game called Lopnos.
Nintendo actually made it?
I believe.
What's it like?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, there it is.
The Virtual Console, Sonic Chaos for the Master System / Game Gear.
Yeah, I remember it as a Game Gear game.
Yeah, it was good.
I thought so. Yeah. Reviews have been kind of painting it lately, so maybe not as good as I remember. I thought it was fun when it came out.
Yeah.
Especially for Game Gear. Also, it was the first game where you can play as Tails and fly with him.
Yes.
This came out between 2 and 3, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was fun when it came out. I mean, 500 points is not very expensive. Well, actually...
I was going to say that's a lot.
Yeah, I guess that's as low as it goes, but $5 for this game is kind of a lot. I think all these Game Gear games were unlockable in one of those Sonic Collection things.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, buyer beware.
Yes. Live Arcade, R-Type Dimensions, which I haven't gotten to trying yet, but I will soon.
Supposedly pretty good.
Yes. The PlayStation Network, they released the 3-on-3 NHL Arcade. You seen the video of this game? No. Looks awesome. It's like NBA Jam, but for hockey.
Oh, nice.
And like, there's like all kinds of crazy power-ups. Like, there's the one... The guy grabs and you hear like the announce voice go, "Shrunken goalie," and then you hear the goalie shrinks. He goes, "Oh no!"
Oh, that's
it's hilarious.
Nice.
So yeah, and I'm guessing that's going to come to XBLA next week, and then with the release of the Burnout DLC, which we didn't talk about in the news. Yeah, the Burnout DLC is out. We killed the streak.
Yeah.
Oh no.
You brought it alive. Right
yeah,
there,
I guess.
Sure.
But the Burnout Paradise Ultimate Box is available for download on the network.
How ultimate is it?
Well, and you pay $30 now and get the party DLC.
Okay.
I don't know if the 1999 version is still there, though, or not, separately, or if you have to get this one now.
1999? Oh, yeah. The price range.
Right, right.
I was like, what?
Oh, no. Yeah. And then I couldn't find any GameTap releases this week. So maybe there were, maybe they weren't. Good old Games had Stronghold Legends and Gothic 2.
What's Gothic now again?
3D RPG.
An RPG?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Western RPG.
Okay. I always hear about this game, but I don't know what...
Yeah, I know, me too. It's a series I completely missed.
Yes.
What's for reals?
For reals? Oh man, there are some things for reals, let me tell you. There's that Burnout Ultimate Box for... this thing says Xbox 360 also.
See, I'm confused. I thought the PC version of the Ultimate Box is coming out in America, and then the Europe was getting the Ultimate Box for the consoles. Here they just want you to download it.
This is a weird game. My World, My Way for the DS. It's like an RPG of sorts. I don't know. But it's like an RPG, but it also looks like a Strawberry Shortcake game.
Interesting.
It's weird.
Got a 5.
Yeah. Tenchu, Shadow Assassins for the Wii.
I don't know who thinks this game's going to be good.
Tenchu, you know, that was a prevalent at one point or another. Coyote's Tale, Fire and Water for the PC. Okay. X-Blades for 360 and PS2.
Oh, that looks amazing.
Yeah,
that looks... An anime-inspired hack-and-slash action game. I bet that's not phoned in at all.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Ultimate Shooting Collection for the Wii.
Pass.
Yeah. Phineas and Ferb for the DS.
Oh, cool.
Some sort of show.
Yeah, it's a new show on Disney Channel. It's supposed to actually be really good.
Yeah. It's a thing called A Wizard's Odyssey for 360.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know either. Okay, that's it.
That's it.
Oh, boy. Exciting week.
Yeah.
So let's go.
Look at that list.
This is Derek Robbins' top 10 list at 10th hour on 411mania.com. He's got his top 10 favorite Street Fighter characters.
Okay.
So, number 10, he's got Cammy.
She, like, I tried learning her with the HD remix. She's okay.
I like Cammy. She's got a nice British accent.
Mm-hmm.
She has a lot of leg. Now you got Akuma.
It's and, like the Uber
yeah,
Ryu.
Yeah, the evil Ryu.
He can shoot his fireballs from the air, actually.
That's cool.
That is cool.
I liked his one super move in Marvel's Capcom 2 where he shot just a bunch of those, and that was cool. So you got Sagat at number 8. Who we now know is the final character of the first Street Fighter.
I told you, I got the achievement in HD Remix called Sagat's Scar. You have to defeat him in a round using Ryu's Fierce Shuriken. And it was so hard because, like, not only is he, like, the second to last guy you fight, but just because, like, the controls can be a little touchy. Like, if I didn't get in the first round, I just let him beat me and continue because I didn't want to, like, accidentally kill him with the wrong move. It took me like 2 hours.
Okay, now help me. So, is there some sort of story behind Ryu giving Sagat a scar?
Well, if I recall, in the first Street Fighter, you just play as Ryu.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that's the canon. When he defeated Sagat in the first Street Fighter tournament, he scarred him with a Fierce Shuriken.
Okay. There's someone that's Rose. I don't even know who that is. Street Fighter 2 Alpha.
Yeah.
I guess never made the jump. Next is Guile.
Guile's weird. There's not much to him. He only has two moves.
He's the main character in the movie.
Yeah, but he's just got the sonic boom and his flash kick, and that's it.
Is that really it?
Yeah.
Well, it's simple, at least, yeah. I guess. He's around. Ibuki, I'm guessing, is Street Fighter 3. Not in Street Fighter 4, I don't think.
Ninja with weird hair.
Yes, 4 is Zangief.
I was playing this online with Beige HD Remix, and I played as Zangief. I got off 2 spinning pile drivers.
Oh, man.
Oh, I've always felt so accomplished when I can do that.
Good for you. Look at this. I'm making the Zangief touch the other Zangief's butt.
Quit it.
Okay, number 3 is Chun-Li. I've never been all that into Chun-Li.
Well, they really did a nice thing with her in HD Remix where her spinning bird kick, instead of just being kind of like a copy of the hurricane kick that Ryu does, it's kind of like a hop now. So you can actually use it as an interesting way to dodge projectiles and get a hit in.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
2 is Dan.
Everyone likes Dan. I've never played as him.
He's
really
a jerk. He's a joke character.
Right.
In Marvel's Capcom, he's terrible.
Yeah.
Like he's literally just bad. So I guess he's funny. he is kind of silly, isn't he? He looks like he just wants to be like Ryu and Ken, but probably isn't that good. Number 1 is Ken. Ken Masters.
Wait, was Ryu on this list?
No.
Oh, Ryu's so much better than Ken.
Well, obviously that is a big debate, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's always Ryu versus Ken. And Ken won this time. What are you going to do about it, Edge Guy?
I don't know.
All right. So thanks for that list, Eric. It was fun stuff.
Yeah, wrapping it up.
Wrapping it up a little early. Not a terribly long show this week.
Yeah.
We're gonna start a new segment soon called Game. I think it's going to be called Game of Past Years or Game of Years Past, where we're going to start with 1986, which was the year I was born. We'll look at every game release in that year, and then we'll say what was the best game released that year. Then we'll keep going until we
catch up.
Until we get to 2006, because 2007, because we did 2008 and... No, 2006. Yeah. We did 07 and 08 as it happened.
Fair enough.
So, it'll take 20 episodes 20 to
weeks.
Do.
Jeez, yeah.
I feel like we should wait till episode 80 to do it now. Because then, like...
Oh, that's true.
I don't want to wait 10
episodes. No, we don't want our 100th episode to be 2006. The 100th episode would be special.
Yes. It will be special.
Oh, yes.
Assuming we get there. This is number 70. 30 more to go.
Yay.
We'll make it. We'll make it. We are gonna make it after all.
Woo.
Oh, that was bad. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
You can find us. It's a very sincere yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find our website at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter now at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Also find us on the iTunes Music Store. Just search for Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can contact me at toldkoto@gmail.com.
And madguy711@gmail.com.
So thanks for listening, everyone, and have a good week. Bye.